The Bible reading comes from the first book of Psalms, and it's page 535 in the Pew Bibles. True happiness. Happy are those who reject the advice of evil people, who do not follow the example of sinners, or join those who have no use for God. Instead, they find joy in obeying the law of the Lord, and they study it day and night. They are like trees that grow beside a stream, that bear fruit at the right time, and whose leaves do not dry up. They succeed in everything they do. But evil people are not like this at all. They are like the straw that the wind blows away. Sinners will be condemned by God and kept apart from God's own people. The righteous are guided and protected by the Lord, but the evil are on the way to their doom. Praise be to God.
I recently had a holiday in Devon, Goodington Sands I stayed, and I went on a visit to Dartmoor, and in the little church in Widdicombe, there was a picture of the countryside, and over it it said, listen, and then, let me get the right words, listen to this, and consider all God's wonders. And there was nothing to listen to as such. There was no music, and there was no beautiful organ playing that we've had this morning. Thank you very much for that. But it just made me think, listening is not just what we hear, is it? We listen in all sorts of ways. We listen to body language. We listen in a way to what we see. We're reading situations, and it made me wonder, how well do we listen to God? How well do we listen to what he wants to say to us? The psalmist says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. And I'm trusting God that as I paint this picture this morning, that he will speak to you in various ways, because he wants to communicate with you. It's no good me communicating with you. That means nothing. He needs to communicate with you, and I pray that he will communicate with you in the way that you need this morning. So I'm going to start by painting the sky. It's always a good idea to start at the top of a picture. Once I did try, because of the talk, doing the other way around, it doesn't work very well. So I'm going to start with the sky. And when we look at the sky and all its changing moods, we can't but think how wonderful God is as a creator. Shortly after my mother died, I was down in St. Ives in Cornwall. And I love St. Ives. And I was walking around the little harbour, if you know it. And I'm walking out onto the jetty where the little light was. And it was getting dusk. And I was thinking, what a wonderful place this is. And then all of a sudden, I felt God spoke to me, because the sky lit up with the most glorious sunset I had ever seen. And it was as if God said, you think it's really lovely here, but in heaven where your mother now is, it's far better. And that really stayed with me and helped me, that God spoke to me through that scene that I saw. So as I paint the sky, I'm going to you're going to listen to Creation Sings, sung by Stuart Townend. Next, we need some hills. When we climb hills, we not only discover how fit we are or otherwise, we also get a new perspective on where we are. It may make us puff a bit, but it's worth it because of the view we get. Listening to God also take some effort on our part. We're so easily distracted by other things. I was shocked the other day to discover that on average, a person in the UK spends 8 hours, 41 minutes a day on media devices. And we also spend apparently an average of 2 hours a day on television. Now, I have to admit that when Murray was playing, I sat there and watched television for 4 hours. And it's so easy to get drawn in. And I love watching the Olympics. I expect some of you do. It's so easy to get drawn in. But there's all these things, that good as they may be, that they gradually distract us and take away the time when we could be listening to God. But Psalm 1 doesn't say, blessed is the man who relaxes in front of the television. Or it doesn't say, blessed is the man whose delight is poring over Facebook. It says, blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on that law day and night. If we spend time listening to God, then we will see things from a new perspective. I remember in the psalm, when David was talking, he says, I lift my eyes to the hills. He says, from whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord. And if we spend time listening to God, then we will realize that our help is going to come from the Lord. So while I paint the hills and the meadow at the front, you're going to hear the perfect wisdom of our God. All these songs, I won't keep saying it, are sung by Stuart Townend. The perfect wisdom of our God. On the left-hand side of the picture, we're going to have a tree and a small stream. Because someone says, a man that meditates on God's word is like a tree planted by a stream. For many years, I had a lovely weeping willow tree in my garden, and it had managed to put a taproot down into the pond. And then one year, the pond froze over for a long period of time, and the tree died. But God says that if we keep close to him and study his word, then we will have roots that go down deep, and we will be like a tree that flourishes, not one that dies. So while I paint the tree and a small stream, we're going to hear a song called By Faith by Stuart Townend. Of course, many of us have been reading the Bible for a long time, and some of us even had Bible stories read to us before we could read. I think there's always a danger that they lose their impact on us because we've heard them so often, and we may have sort of decided, well, we're going to take notice of that bit of scripture, but that bit's a bit difficult, so perhaps we'll just park that somewhere else and not do anything about it. But the psalm does challenge us to meditate on God's word and to really think about it. I read a story recently about an old man who was casually walking along a country lane with his dog and his mule. Suddenly a speeding truck came round the corner and knocked the man, his mule and his dog into the ditch. The old man decided that he was going to sue for damages. And when he got to court, the counsel for the defence cross-examined him and he said, I want you to answer this question, yes or no. Did you or did you not say at the time of the accident that you were perfectly fine? And the man said, well, me and my dog and my mule were walking along the road, and the counsel for the defense said, stop, stop, I asked you, tell me yes or no. Did you say you were perfectly fine at the time of the accident? Well, me and my dog and my mule were walking along the road. The defense attorney appealed to the judge. Your Honor, he said, the man is not answering the question. Would you please insist that he answers the question? The judge said, well, he obviously wants to tell us something. Let him speak. So the man said, well, me and my dog and my mule were walking along the road, and this truck came around the corner far too fast, knocked us into the ditch. The driver stopped, got out of his truck, saw my dog was badly injured, went back to his truck, got his gun and shot my dog. Then he saw that my mule had got a broken leg, so he shot my mule. And so then he said, how are you? And I said, I'm perfectly fine. Perhaps sometimes we just want God to say to us, that's perfectly fine. What you're doing, that's perfectly lovely. Maybe we don't want to give God the chance to say what he's really trying to say to us. Jesus said we should build our lives on God's word, and he likened it to building on a rock. On my holiday, I had an illustration of this. I went to Agatha Christie's holiday home on the banks of the River Dart. I don't know whether you've ever been to it. It's a beautiful house, lovely grounds. We had a lovely day. We had also had a very good little guided tour. And the chap that took us round said that when the National Trust took over the property, it was in a very bad state of repair. The roof was leaking, etc. But one side of the house, you could actually put your fist into the cracks in the wall. So the National Trust dug down 46 metres to try to find bedrock to prop this side of the house up, and they couldn't find any. In the end, they have actually put steel girders for one half of the house that's on the bedrock around the other half of the house to stop it sliding down the hill. And it's amazing the trouble they go to, isn't it? But Jesus said, you know, we need to be on the bedrock, and otherwise our lives are going to be a disaster. When you see these athletes at the Olympics, I noticed a lot, especially once I'd first thought about it, how often they said that their coach was the reason they had won. Their coach had helped them with their training, and they'd had success. But we've got somebody far better than a coach. We've got the Son of God, who's trying to tell us how to live each day. And we can't afford to ignore it. We've got the Holy Spirit to remind us of Jesus' teaching. So when we face problems, don't let's say, oh, God's deserted me, because Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. When Jesus said, if you don't forgive other people, God will not forgive you, he meant it. So if we hold grudges against people, or we've got anything on our minds where we haven't forgiven people, we need to ask God to help us to forgive them. It's not easy, necessarily, but then it's not easy to become an Olympic gold medalist. And it's not easy to run the Christian life as Jesus wants us to. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:25, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They don't do it to get a crown. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. But no effort we make for God's kingdom, no effort we make to live our lives as Jesus taught is ever going to be wasted. So I'm going to put, because of that, this picture's got a rock on this side, so while I paint the rock, you're going to hear, "Speak, O Lord." I'm going to put a few wayside flowers and things in here, heather and gorse and things like that. In Matthew 6, Jesus says, "See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" He concludes, therefore, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself." And it made me think how much this Jesus must have had to live by this precept, because he must have known quite early on that one day he was going to go to the cross. And yet his whole life was lived in praising and glorifying God. And there was no sense of anxiousness about him. So we can trust God that whatever is going on in our lives, and I don't suppose there's anybody that hasn't got something going on in their life, you know, whatever's going on in our lives, we can trust God for tomorrow and the next day and the day after, because God is in control. So we're going to hear a song called "Hear the Call of the Kingdom." I love this song. While I paint a few flowers in this corner. We're also going to have one or two sheep to finish off our picture, because Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." Through the prompting of the Holy Spirit, we can hear God's voice in all the things we see and the people we meet and our friends and family, as part of worship and through reading his word. A sheep that doesn't listen to the voice of the shepherd is going to soon be in trouble. And he wants to speak to us day by day. Wherever we are, he wants to prompt us. So let's tell him that we're open to him, open to hearing his voice, and set aside those times when we can be quiet in his presence. Even if we just make small changes to our lives, we will notice a benefit. So while I paint the sheep, I'm going to play "Good Shepherd of My Soul."